All right, great. So thank you all again for being here at our Secret Scent Spokeswoman training. We are so, so glad that all of you are willing to learn about this and raise your voice about this and help us spread the word. So we're going to start out with Alex telling us about what's actually in the report, and then we're going to move into how to tell your story effectively. What are some good tips for talking to reporters? How do you frame it? What are good messages to keep coming back to? We'll talk about good talking points, and then we have some prompts at the end, and then we're all going to practice. Everybody gets to answer a question. So with that, I am going to turn it over to our incredibly intelligent powerhouse of a report author, Alex Granton.
Thanks so much, Cass. I'm going to go to that first slide, or I guess the second slide.
Thanks, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. So basically what this report is about, it's called Secret Scents, and it tells the story of skin allergies caused by chemicals and fragrance. So we're talking about fragrance that you're exposed to through household products like personal care products, cleaners, air fresheners, that kind of thing. And what we found with this report is that fragrance allergy is a serious problem. It affects tens of millions of people around the world. And we really feel that companies should be disclosing the ingredients they're using in their fragrances, including these allergens, to allow people to protect their health and avoid the substances that you want to avoid. Now, before I get into some of the details of the report, I just want to up front deal with one issue that we sort of had people have concerns about. I want to address, you know, why this report is specifically focused on skin allergies, because we are certainly aware that there are many more impacts to fragrance and many more serious impacts to fragrance for some folks, like neurological effects, headaches, other kinds of sensitivity, immune system impacts, potentially cancer. And there are a lot of chemicals in fragrance that we are very concerned about. And this is it's a really good point. We do acknowledge that in the report. Now, as many of you know, the fragrance industry, and certainly large parts of the medical establishment, often won't even admit to or sort of acknowledge that other types of fragrance sensitivity are a real condition. Part of the problem being that we don't have good, you know, comprehensive statistics on different kinds of fragrance sensitivity, and we don't even have good sort of consistent medical definitions of what that means. And we certainly found this to be true when we've written reports before on chemicals that are in fragrance. It's hard to get people to do something about, you know, a problem that they won't admit to. Now, when you're dealing with skin allergies, this is something that the medical establishment will admit to. It's something the fragrance industry will admit to, that there are skin allergies, but they tend to brush under the rug and say that it's really just a small number of people who are affected by this, and they have the option of using fragrance-free products. So we're sort of starting this campaign, you know, starting from that premise of where we can, you know, where we have some sort of consensus that, yes, these allergies exist. It's not a small number of people. It's, in fact, millions of people who are having these impacts. And the fact that they don't have access to the ingredients in their products is a real public health problem, because they can't then avoid the specific things that they are allergic to. So we feel like we can make a compelling argument for the need for disclosure of ingredients just based on kind of the skin allergy story. And it kind of makes the standoff by industry, which is, you know, something of an archaic notion that they need to keep these trade secrets on their ingredients. It makes it seem sort of ridiculous, seeing as it's really impacting the health of so many people who would be able to avoid some of their allergies if they actually knew what was in the products they were being exposed to. Now, once we can sort of use this to kind of break open that door on secrecy about fragrance ingredients, that's when, you know, the real work and really kind of the fun can begin on getting at some of the nastier chemicals in fragrance, the different toxins, and finding out why they're causing these other major impacts. And there's so much of the research that's needed to be done, so much of the kind of convincing of the medical industry that needs to be done is hampered by the fact that we don't know what's in these products. So this is kind of our step one of a bigger campaign on fragrance. We need to get at the secrecy of ingredients so that we can then really work on these other issues. So we certainly don't want anyone to think that we're, you know, saying that skin allergies are the only problem associated with fragrance. There certainly aren't, and they're not even the most serious impact. They do affect millions of people, and they are a really good compelling reason for disclosure, which will then get us to kind of step two and step three, figuring out what the toxic chemicals are that are commonly used in fragrance and which ones do we need to get out of these products. So I just wanted to kind of explain where we're coming from there. Does anyone have any questions on that part? Okay. Then I'll move on. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I will just say we're getting a little bit of background noise, so if you can mute your own line by pushing *6, and you can unmute your line again by pushing *6. Thanks, you guys.
Terrific. Okay, so I'll go on with some of the main messages that we have in this report. One of the main messages is that 20% of the population is sensitized to an allergen, obviously big swath of the general population, and fragrance is one of the most frequently identified allergens causing allergic reactions. So it's really a big one. It's something that dermatologists are dealing with all the time. Studies show that children particularly are more impacted by fragrance allergies. It was really rare about 30 years ago to see kids with kind of allergic dermatitis. Much more common now. A lot of those kids are sensitized to fragrance, which is a real problem. Women, the research that we looked at showed that women because they are exposed to more perfume, personal care products and cleaners, they're 2 to 3 times more likely to suffer fragrance allergies than men. And they actually develop these allergies earlier in their lifespan than men do. So women are disproportionately impacted by fragrance, and we are certainly concerned about that. And then another point is that, you know, when you're given the option of, like, we'll just choose fragrance-free products, we want to demonstrate how difficult this really is to do in a practical way. There's some great studies that we cite in the report that looked at the products that are kind of sold in your average drugstore. They looked at kind of CVS.com, Walgreens.com, looked at the products that are available to most people. Fragrance is found in about 96% of shampoos sold in those stores, 91% of antiperspirants, 95% of shaving products, and we have a couple other examples as well. So it's really hard to find fragrance-free products, and certainly ones that, you know, work with your body and work with your skin and work with your hair that are also fragrance-free is, you know, nearly impossible. We want to get that point across. Can you go to the next slide? Okay, great. One of the policy issues on disclosure is that it turns out in the European Union, the manufacturers of products like cosmetics and cleaners are required to disclose the presence of 26 particular fragrance allergens on the product, literally on the label. And that is law in the European Union. Now, a lot of the companies that produce products in the U.S. also are ones that, you know, they're American companies that produce the very same products here, but they don't disclose those allergens to their U.S. customers because it's not required by law in the U.S. So we think that's a really powerful argument, that these same companies are already disclosing to their European customers, they're not disclosing to their American customers, and that's just not fair. It's obviously something that they can do that they're refusing to do. Another point about main messages is the impact on dermatologists, how they are hampered in their ability to diagnose and they're hampered in their ability to treat allergic patients because companies aren't disclosing these ingredients. And it makes it really difficult for a patient to avoid the allergen in question because they may be able to figure out, okay, this product is giving me a rash, but the dermatologist then can't figure out, okay, it's this chemical in this product that's the real problem. That's what we need to test you for. And that's what you need to avoid because you can't figure out what you can't figure out what you're allergic to, and you can't figure out how to avoid it in other products. So it's a real problem there. One example of that particularly is moisturizing lotion, which is commonly recommended for folks with skin conditions because dry skin can predispose you to flare-ups of your condition. But 83% of over-the-counter moisturizers contain fragrance. So the very stuff you're being prescribed to use to prevent your symptoms may, in fact, include fragrance allergens, which cause your symptoms. And that, we think, is wrong. And obviously, if you had better disclosure, this is something you could avoid much better. So those are some of the main messages that we're getting across in this report with this common theme of we really need companies to be disclosing the ingredients in their products to help public health. So I will stop there with my main gist for the report. Any questions or comments on that? Happy to answer anything.
You all can unmute by pushing *6. And I, Alex, I'm seeing Leah's comment here that fragrance-free may still have fragrance and then include a masking agent. And we know that's true with unscented. Is that the case with fragrance-free as well?
There aren't sort of very strong rules on what fragrance-free means or what unscented means. There are these things called masking agents, which, you know, they don't call them fragrance, but they can be allergens, and they can be in there to sort of cover, you know, cover the scent of whatever the other ingredients are in the product, and they can certainly be a problem as well. And so we need those certainly to be disclosed so we can figure out what people are reacting to. So, yeah, thank you for bringing up that point, Mary, really important point.
Hey, Aisha, if you've got your hand raised, and if you're muted, I actually am just going to go ahead and unmute all of your lines here.
The conference has been unmuted.
You're all free. So, Aisha, did you have a question? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. My situation was quite unique. I didn't realize that I had an allergy.
Cut him out just a little bit. What was that?
I didn't realize that I had an allergy.
Okay.
I have been very cautious about, you know, just scents and stuff because I knew I was sensitive to them. You know, they were very irritating to me. Like, I haven't used bleach in years. Mm-hmm. But I was at work and someone sprayed something. And the next day, my face was blowing up. My skin felt like I had eczema. My nose was just raw. It was difficult to breathe. I went to the doctor. I was misdiagnosed with a skin allergy or skin infection. And it gave me antibiotics and pain medicine and itching medicine. And I took that, slept for a day. And then when I woke up, it was worse. So I had to end up going to the emergency room. One doctor took one look. She said, it's not a skin infection. She said, that's an allergic reaction.
Mm. Yeah, so, that's going to be so good, Aisha, once we get into some of these talking points and how you bring it back to a main message. I mean, your story is exactly one that reporters are going to want to hear, and that's true of all of you who are on the phone right now. So this is perfect, and we're so glad to be able to give you an outlet to tell this story. Sherry, I see that you've got your hand raised.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the question or the comment about unscented products and fragrance-free products. And a lot of people don't seem to get the difference, and sensitive skin products, people automatically assume that there's no fragrancing to them. I have multiple chemical sensitivity, and it has been very debilitating. And trying to find any sort of, what I think is important for people to understand is that if you have some sort of sensitivity or allergy, trying to find an unscented product or a fragrance-free product cost money. I have spent so much money trying to find the right product, and I still can't because there's always something in there that I react to. And also, some of the products that I get don't do the job that I would like to. For example, my hair, I can't get it soft. It dries out. So, you know, it's a real, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place. But I think it's just really important for people to understand that even unscented products can still cause a reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, you know, it's something we don't have a recommendation in the report to just choose fragrance-free because we think it's not, you know, it's not an easy suggestion for people to take on. It's not a fair choice to have to give people that that's their only option when it isn't even a good option, you know. It's hard to find. They're expensive. And they may not even be fragrance-free, even though they're called unscented. So really, really good points. Thanks for that.
Yeah, definitely. And Leah, you're next. Leah, are you there?
Hello? Yes.
Yeah,
sorry.
I can hear you.
I also have multiple chemical sensitivity, and my question is around that because I understand where you're going with keeping this with skin allergies. That makes total sense. My concern is I don't have a story about skin allergies, a personal story about skin allergies, because my reactions to fragrances are much, much, much deeper. Mm-hmm. So is that going to be a problem here or not? I mean, obviously I can't bring up the other stuff if a reporter asks me because it's confusing the message, but I'm wondering if I mean, I'm not going to really be able to relay a personal story with regard to skin allergies.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so that actually is a great question that came up last night. And one way that we talked about addressing this, because it is something fantastic to bring up around this, and I am just going to skip ahead here to this slide. So our main message you can see there in bold, we can totally adjust this. You don't have to say allergies, because it's just like Alex said, that one of the problems with multiple chemical sensitivities, one of the women last night said, you know what, I say I'm sensitive to everything because there's no disclosure, so I don't actually know what I'm sensitive to. So there's no way right now to know what's actually causing, you know, your reactions and your health problems. And so we can still come back to this main message of, we have a right to know about what ingredients are in the products we're using in general. So does that make sense, Alex? Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's certainly, you know, this is going to be a lot of work to do. There's going to be, you know, a long campaign. And, if we're focused on allergies now, we'll be, you know, focused beyond allergies later. So there's always more opportunities. There'll be more opportunities in the future to tell your story as well. But I think your story is still really important. And just that getting at kind of the frustrations of not being able to find products that your body can tolerate is a really good message to get out there. And also just the sort of concerns of, because we don't have the disclosure of ingredients, you know, doctors are hampered with telling you what's wrong with you, you know, and figuring out how to treat you. So it's all kind of part of the same issue, even though in your case, it may not be skin allergies, it's still part of the same message of, we really need to have this information so that we can protect our health. So your story is still totally valid and useful as a spokesperson.
Yeah, and just like Alex said, this is going to be a long campaign, and so we sort of sneakily are training you as spokeswomen for this report, but we're also kind of training you as spokeswomen for this whole fragrance campaign in general. So hopefully you were ready for that. And I do see it. Genevieve has had her hand raised for a little bit, and I know a couple other people do. But we're going to have a chance here in a little bit to really get our stories out a little more in the context of some talking points. So I'm going to call on Genevieve, and then we'll move on, and I'll make sure that I get all of your questions and all of our stories out, and definitely feel free to use the chat box too. But go ahead, Genevieve. Genevieve, are you muted? Okay, Genevieve, type your question in the chat box if you're stuck on mute. and we'll go ahead and move on here just for time, and can definitely I can stay on for as long as we need to, past an hour, so if anybody else can as well, that's great, just a heads up. So let's go back to this one about why your story matters, and Genevieve actually could probably really do this as well about, reporters really would love to cover a story with a personal angle. Our report is definitely interesting, but your quotes and your story is really what's going to bring this to life, because it puts a real face on this issue. And another reason for this is really these three bases of what women's voices, what our cornerstones are in our work, that women have this tremendous amount of power, and when we raise our voices, we're using that power. So just briefly, with consumer power, women make more than 85% of consumer decisions in the average home. And so when we tell our stories about products that we're not going to buy for whatever reason, companies make changes. And we just saw that with Procter & Gamble and Tide, right? That in just 1 year, because women were raising their voices and telling their stories, Procter & Gamble reformulated Tide. With political power, regardless of where women lie on the political spectrum, studies show that we consistently rate toxic chemicals in the environment as one of our top concerns. And so that's a lot of influence that we have with policymakers and decision makers who can put policies in place to protect our health when we raise our voices. With social power, women have a tremendous amount of social power. And when we start to tell our stories, it really makes other women start to feel comfortable telling their stories. And that's movement building and action right there. So there's so many reasons that it's so fantastic to be able to raise your voice, and we just are so thankful to all of you for taking the time to be on this call, taking the time to read through those talking points I sent you, to maybe take some time out of a day to talk to a reporter. We can't thank you enough for your contribution. So thank you. And with how to tell your story, of course, use your own words and speak from the heart. Your story is the most true thing that you can possibly tell, right? So you never have to worry that you're saying something wrong when you're telling a reporter about your own experience. So definitely tell it from the heart. And hear about, don't worry about memorizing the science or the stats. That's what we're here for. You know, Alex wrote the report. She knows it inside and out. And so if a reporter asks you a science question, definitely don't feel like you need to scramble to find that answer, or that definitely don't make something up. I have been tempted to do that once in a while. I know it can be sort of difficult when you're on the spot. But when a reporter asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, it's okay to say, you know, Women's Voices for the Earth wrote that report. I'm happy to direct them to you. So make sure that, you know, you're telling your story from your heart. And as long as you're sticking to your personal story, you're never going to say anything wrong. And so this is my biggest tip out of this whole training, is to keep returning to this main message that's in bold, because that's all of our goals with this report, right, is to actually start to get at, are some of these fragrance ingredients. You know, why can companies keep these a secret from us? We have a right to know what's in the products we're using. And so I have been known to, you know, in an interview, at times come back to my main message at the end of every single sentence so that, you know, it gets into an interview. And so our main message here is, I have been affected by fragrance or fragrance allergies, and I have no way of knowing which ingredients cause them because companies keep those ingredients a secret. I have a right to know about allergens or fragrance ingredients hiding in products so I can avoid them. So we keep coming back to this idea that, you know what, this is a really big problem, and I have a right to know what's in these products that I'm using in my home. So, yeah. Naveed, this is a good question here. We share with each other other products we found that work reporters will want to know. That actually is something, yeah, I would love to talk about that at the end here, because Women's Voices for the Earth doesn't recommend products. And so between you, it would be great if you all wanted to recommend products to each other. That's great. So moving on, it is great to be able to back up your story with some talking points from the report, even if they're, you know, really general like these. And these are ones that Alex already went over, and they're also in your messaging document. And these are the ones that are kind of the really basic pieces here, like getting back again to this right that we have a right to know, that anyone with a food allergy can glance at a label. We should be able to do that with other products that we bring into our homes. Those of you that have children, this is a great child talking point, that studies show that children are increasingly impacted. We're all women, and so this is a great talking point that women are more exposed to more perfume, personal care products, and cleaners, and so we're that much more likely to suffer from fragrance allergies. The fragrance that is really hard to avoid is such a good talking point to come back to, because we've all experienced that. We've all been in a grocery store looking down the aisle trying to find something that actually works with our skin, with our hair, just like Alex said, and it's so hard because fragrance is so ubiquitous right now in our world. And then this last one, this is, honestly, this is my favorite talking point because it makes me the angriest, that companies like a Procter & Gamble, for example, will make a product like Pantene, and they will label those allergens directly on the back of the Pantene bottle in the EU. They won't do it for the exact same product here because they don't have to. And that talking point, it gets me every single time. So that's a great one to come back to. We have a call to action with the report. So when reporters ask, well, God, how are you ever going to get there? I mean, it seems so hard to get companies to just start disclosing fragrance ingredients. And it's great to say, oh, yeah, so go to Weave's website, and they have this action telling the fragrance industry to stop keeping fragrance ingredients a secret. And, of course, spreading the word, that's always such an easy action to mention. You know, we really need to raise awareness about this. We need more people calling on the fragrance industry to stop keeping ingredients a secret. So it's good to mention a call to action there. And some other tips. One thing that I really want to emphasize is that I will always call you or email you before we put you in touch with a reporter. We will never point blank just give a reporter your contact information. And so this first question here, that'll probably actually go through me, for example. So you will already be prepared for that, for, you know, what sort of angle is the reporter looking at. So we'll always give you a call first, and then I will always be happy to hop on the phone with you and sort of go through this training again and hit the basic points so you feel really ready. I don't want any of you to ever feel like you're put on the spot. So that's really important to remember. And again, can't emphasize enough that if a reporter asks you a question that you don't know an answer to, definitely feel free to punt to us. That's what we're here for. So just, you know, the reporter will already have our contact information. So say that's a great question to ask Women's Voices for the Earth. And, of course, always remember when you're telling a personal story that it's great to be able to mention that a report just came out on this, right? Because it lends both of us credibility. So it gives you a leg to stand on. So mention, you know, this report, Secret Sense, just came out. I have been dealing with these problems for so long, and here's this report that just came out with all of these great stats. So there are sort of three separate media outlets that we'll be working with. One is television, and there's a whole set of different tips for talking with television reporters that if it is a television reporter that we're going to put in contact with you, I'll talk with you over the phone about you know, there are certain tips about colors that are good to wear, what's even good to wear so that you have somewhere to pin your microphone, stuff like that, so we can go over those specific talking points. With mainstream media, there's a couple different sets of talking points for that as well. And bloggers, in my opinion, bloggers are some of the most fun to talk to because they're not as restricted as journalists are and can often put in sort of a lot more points of your story in a little bit more creative of a way. And Genevieve, I know, I don't know if you're still on mute, but if you had any specific, very quickly, any specific tips about talking with mainstream media, because I think that's really going to be what we're focused on, that would be great. Genevieve, I'm going to unmute all our lines just in case you're stuck.
The conference has been unmuted.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes!
Oh, good, yay. you know, with mainstream media, I think the main thing to remember is that when you're talking to a reporter, one of two things is happening. They're either taking notes furiously or they're recording the call. And if they're recording the call, they should tell you. But, you know, you want to speak slowly enough and clearly enough that if they are taking notes, they can get your quote accurately. This is really important because a lot of times once a reporter talks to you, that's going to be it. You're never going to see their copy before it goes to print, so you have no chance to make corrections. So one of the best things that I found to get an accurate quote is if the person who I'm speaking to can speak, you know, slowly with breaks in between their sentences and give me actually time to write things down.
Great. That's perfect. Thank you. And Alex, you had a really good point last night about not worrying about repeating yourself.
Yeah, that was advice that I was given when I was first talking to reporters, and it's kind of an unnatural thing to do in a conversation with somebody, which a lot of these kind of interviews, there's like a conversation where you wouldn't necessarily say something and then say it a slightly different way just, you know, 30 seconds later. But in a reporting interview, with an interview with the media, it's completely fine. If you've said something and it's a point you really want to make or a part of your story you really want to tell and you don't think you said it quite right, just go ahead and say it again, you know. Because the person taking notes or reporting the call wants to get the, you know, the best soundbite or the best quote. They're not going to be able to you know, print or show like everything that you said. They're just going to take a part of it. So feel free to repeat yourself, you know, as many times as you want to get it right, because they're really looking for the, you know, for the best way to capture it as well. So I mean, it feels a little unnatural to, you know, to do it because you're like, oh, I already said that. You know, feel free to say it again.
Yeah, that's perfect. So then what we're going to do is we are going to dive in and practice. And so let me just reiterate a couple of the things that we've talked about here. So really great to stick to your personal story and back it up with some of those general talking points that kind of fit with your story. Maybe you bring in the women talking point. Maybe you bring in the fact that you're really outraged that companies are giving consumers in the EU more information that they're giving us. If a reporter asks you a tough question that you don't know the answer to, punt to Women's Voices for the Earth. And keep coming back to that main message that, you know what, I don't know what I'm reacting to, but I have the right to know. I have the right to know what's in product so I can start to identify what's causing this reaction. So now we get to practice, And what I would like to do is just see if anybody wants to step up to the plate, and I will ask you one of these questions here, and you can give a quick, you know, 2 to 3, 4 sentence response about your story, and then see if you can work in that main message. So who wants to start? Maybe I should start with Leah because she had that question. How do I respond if a reporter asks what happens when I get exposed to fragrance? So that's a great question. So maybe the first question that a reporter asks you is, you know, that fourth bullet point on this slide, what happens when you use a scented product that does affect you? So, Leah, I would say, you know, explain your physical reactions. If you can add in an emotional reaction, how does it make you feel when this happens to you? That'd be great. And then bring it back to this main message of, I deserve to know what's causing this reaction. Do you want to try that?
So you want me to be honest, I mean, is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. I want you to be as honest as possible.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with skin. I mean, what was the question?
Yeah, so the question is, what happens when you use a scented product that does affect you? And even if it has nothing to do with your skin, that's fine, because we can still go back to this talking point of, you know, we don't know what's in products. And if we knew, then we could start to identify with skin, with multiple chemical sensitivities, with headaches, any of that. It really applies to all of that. So you want to take a crack?
Well, I mean, what happens to me, I don't use scented products, period. I cannot be around scented products. I cannot smell scented products. I can't be within 15 feet of scented products. So I'm not sure, to be honest with you, that I'm going to be a good spokesperson for this, but we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
What happens to me when I get around anyone with fragrance, it's very frustrating for me because it's very isolating, because I can't even get within 5-10 feet. I can't hug my friends because if they have perfume on them, if they have shampoo that is fragrant, I can't even hug them because if it gets on me, I can't let people pet my dogs because if they have stuff on them and it gets on the dogs, I have to be careful when I go shopping about making sure I'm not handling a shopping cart where someone's come behind me and had fragrance on the bar. Because then it gets on my hands and then I get sick. So this is really, I mean, this is the problem. Fragrance is everywhere. We don't know what's in fragrance. We have no way to know what's causing these reactions. And I have a right to know. I mean, this is the problem. I can't know what to avoid unless I know what's in it.
That was great. That was great. That was perfect. So what was great about that was that you were very honest about what happened and how it's affected your daily life. That's great. And then you brought it back to those main talking points, and you were brief. So I don't know if you have all seen Genevieve's comment here. One more point to add about talking to reporters. They're speaking to us because they want to make a personal connection. So talk about what's more challenging, but be brief. So that was really well done. Thank you. So see, we're all nervous, and then you did a great job. Let's see. How about, hey, Lynn, I know that you've been wanting to ask a question or speak. Do you want to kind of a double whammy, ask your question and then step up to the plate and practice?
Well, that was tricky.
I know.
Sure. Really, Sherry and Leah, what they brought up answered my questions. I have the chemical sensitivities as well. Unlike Leah, though, I've had the skin problems, so I can go there if I need to.
Great. Okay, great. So do you want to try practicing?
Sure. What would you like me to do?
Yeah, so is it difficult for you to find personal care products or cleaning products that your health can tolerate?
Yes, it is. And I wouldn't say this if I were talking to a reporter, but like Leah, if it says the word fragrance, I don't purchase it.
No, you know what, Lynn? Say that. You should
say. Oh, I'll say it.
Why? Is that one of our talking points around fragrance in general has always been, one of our tips has been, if it just says fragrance, then probably avoid it. Look for, you know, it's not in this report because it is a little bit problematic, but what I always tell people in person is look for a brand that actually lists fragrance ingredients. you know? Yeah. And so if it says fragrance and you avoid it, that's great. So please keep going and please include that in your response.
So there's a likely talking point no matter who I talk to. If it says fragrance, I will not buy it. And until I know what's there, I'm simply not going to purchase it. And in my life, I've had the problems, very bad problems, with, and I never really knew for sure if it was eczema or psoriasis or what it was, but it doesn't matter. I had red, itchy, bleeding, scaly, nasty skin eruptions beginning on my hands and feet and moving around. And really where I got the help was from herbalists and not from Western medical people, because they did not have any training that could help them answer those questions. So I looked outside of Western medicine, and that's where I began to get some ideas of what might help me. But it doesn't help me enough, because I can shop without buying anything, and I do, that says fragrance, but the people around me don't. And I have had no skin problems for years and years now. But recently, my Khmer, that Cambodian grandpa, died, and I was around large groups of family members for days and days and days. And I was completely surrounded by their products, their laundry products, their scented colognes, what everybody was using on their hair, and so on and so forth. And I could not avoid it. And I knew that I was going to be in trouble, but I needed to be with my family during the whole process that we underwent together, with Grandpa being in hospice and then Grandpa's passing. And now I have my skin problems back. And now I have to start all over again.
Yeah, that's so hard. So that's, I mean, that was great. You spoke from the heart. You were really honest about your experience. And you, in the middle there, you went back to those talking points. And I would say, you know, at the end, if you wanted to go back to that main message, I need to understand what is causing these reactions to come back again. I deserve to know what these ingredients are that are causing this.
Were I talking
great
to a reporter?
Yeah, thank you.
I would say that, because I really actually, this is a good time for me to be doing this, because I have an immediate need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was great. Aisha, if you have your hand raised, does that mean you're ready to practice?
Sure.
Did you have a question?
No, I don't have a question.
All right. Let's see. How about, have you... why don't we just go with an easy one? Can you tell me a little bit about how fragrance affects your daily life?
Yes. Similar to, didn't catch the lady's name that spoke before me, but I have learned to be, you know, very careful. If something says fragrance, I do avoid it. I, you know, won't buy soap with it, not dish detergent, you know, anything. But this last episode, I thought it was just the sensitivity, so I was, you know, I was okay. I would just avoid it. My family knows that, you know, I'm sensitive, so they don't, you know, usually use products around me. But if I go outside of my immediate circle, you know, that's what people do. They use spray for everything, you know, and so it's almost impossible to avoid unless you're going to become a recluse.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened now is I have ended up with an EpiPen because of this last episode. I'm really nervous. I am so nervous, and the doctor even told me when you go to the doctor, them to please do not use Purell, because I don't know what's in that, and they'll you know, be touching me, and I can smell it. But the worst part is my nose burns. I mean, it was raw inside. It was absolutely raw. I didn't want to breathe. So I, you know, you can't regulate what other people do. But, you know, that is out of my control. But to know when I'm looking at a product, whether, you know, what's in it. But my problem is I don't even know the chemical that I am actually allergic to. So I try to avoid everything. if it has more than, you know, three products that I can't, you know, if I can identify what the ingredients say, fine. Other than that, I go with something herbal, you know, usually natural things. I don't seem to bother me. I might not like the scent of it, but it doesn't irritate me, you know. It won't make me look like I have eczema, make me want to stay in the house. And I'm just itching like, you know, I've got fleas or something, you know. So it has really become a serious problem for me because I'm becoming phobic. You know, I don't want to be around. I'm a sore. I tell my children, look, don't clean. Dirt doesn't hurt me, okay? Don't clean up. Don't spray up. Just leave the dirt there. You can clean after I leave.
Yeah.
I'm not allergic to dirt, you know, but whatever you might use to clean with, I might be allergic to that.
Actually, a great talking point right there. But that was great, Aisha. So that was really great that you, again, you know, you talked about your symptoms. You talked about the emotional reaction, that you're so nervous now. And you said, I don't know what I'm allergic to. That was perfect. And if you wanted to follow that up with, you know, we need this ingredient disclosure so that I can start to understand what I'm allergic to, that's perfect. That was really good. Thank you. So, Sherry, I see your hand raised. Do you want to practice? Sherry, are you there? Okay, I'll unmute all our lines in a minute here. I know, Tamika, I want to make sure that you get a chance to practice. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, great. Let's get you on board here. So, have you ever tried going fragrance-free? Is that pretty difficult?
Well, it was at first. The reason, you know, I'm 28, so I'm in the genre of a lot of, you know, we're kind of considered youngsters that don't really know about the dangers of products and things like that. But when I had my daughter in 2009, being a breastfeeding mom, I was like, well, if I breastfeed, then she won't have eczema, she won't have allergies and all these things. But as the months kept going on, she did have eczema really bad, you know, allergies at night, she would be breathing, you know, heart, like all these different allergic reactions to come to find out, you know, the chemicals in the homes and the fragrances. And, you know, I tried so many different things to help her because as a mom, I felt, you know, you kind of feel helpless because you go to the doctor and they want to put steroid cream on there and you don't want to put steroids on your baby. But because the doctor said it's okay, you know, you're like, okay, I'll give it a try. But, of course, that didn't help. I even went as far as I, you know, go to different blog sites and they were like, oh, we'll put a little bit of bleach in their bathtub and it will make their eczema go away. And, I mean, name it, I tried it, but when I removed all the, you know, bad stuff and I start using natural and fragrance-free things, she hasn't had the issues anymore.
Wow.
So it's really, yeah, it's really been It's really been a great transformation. And, I don't know, just as a mom, just trying to tell this to other moms and how I know that it can help their kiddos out, they're like, oh, well, because, you know, it's on commercials and they say it's good for your family, you know what I mean, that it's okay, and because they're labeling that, just like how you set the Pantene,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, well, it's okay because we say so, because, you know, they're trying to make a profit, doesn't mean that it's safe and...
That was actually really well done. And so what you did there was that you talked about, you brought in how helpless you feel because of this long process that it took to actually discover, you know, what was causing your child's eczema, and then how difficult it was to actually find fragrance-free. So you did a really great job of answering that question. And then, you know, maybe just bring it back to that talking point of, you know, we really deserve to know what is in this ingredient, what are the fragrance ingredients in this product that I'm putting on my baby's skin? What are the ingredients in this detergent that I am, you know, putting and washing my baby's clothes in? So that was, you did a great job. And those of you who on the call who are moms, I know that we do have a couple of bloggers who are really interested in talking to women whose children have been affected by fragrance allergy, and I'll make sure that we connect you with them. So that was great. Thanks, Tamika.
Thank you.
Awesome. Sherry, you're back. Okay. Are you unmuted, Sherry? All right, I am sorry. Those you two who keep muting your lines, I'm so sorry I keep unmuting you.
The conference has been unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Okay, Sherry, are you live?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, good. Okay, so you're ready to practice.
Okay.
Let's see.
I like all the points if I can.
Yeah, so I'll just ask you a question here. What happens when you use a scented product that affects you?
I don't use scented products. And if I, by chance, come across something in a product, and I usually find it when I'm trying to use something that is, quote-unquote, unscented, there's always something in there that makes me have some sort of reaction. I, as far as the scents affect my daily life, I'm very much like what Leah was explaining. I can't go out. I can't go grocery shopping. I can't be in public because all the chemicals cause the types of reactions I have are asthmatic. I'll get extreme pain in my ears to the point where I can't hear, extreme fatigue, unbalanced, so there's a little bit of something going on with the nervous system, and it's debilitating. And so trying to find something, some fragrance, some product that will not create a problem for me is close to impossible. Now, whether any, you know, when they disclose whatever's in the product, I'm hoping that I'd be able to figure out that might be a reason why I'm having a reaction, but I'm losing my word here. If that's my family, I can't have my children to have over. I'm basically secluded, and I become a recluse in my own home, and it's very, very devastating. So I really hope that these companies will start to hear us and start to begin to put information out about these fragrances and chemicals and whatever's going into those products. Because the future is not looking too good if this continues to escalate.
That was perfect, Sherry. That was great.
Okay.
Way to bring in those talking points about that. These companies, are they going to start listening to us? That was great. I just want to say to all of you, too, even those of you who haven't gotten a chance to tell your story yet, I just want to thank you all for being so open with this. I know it can be really hard to talk about, and I think that the fact that we're getting this out there and saying it's okay to talk about this because this is a serious problem is great, and I just want to say thank you so much to all of you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, and just Genevieve's note here that she has to hop off in about 5 minutes because of another meeting, and if you guys are unable to practice today, if you can't stay on, then shoot me an email and I'll hop on the phone with you individually. Genevieve, do you have a chance real quick right now?
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Okay,
yeah. All right, so, yeah, let's go ahead.
Tell me a little bit about how fragrance affects your daily life.
My daily life has changed completely because of fragrance sensitivity. So what this means for me is that I work at home. I no longer work in an office. I don't go to other people's homes. They come to mine. I tend to avoid public places when they're crowded. So that means I don't go to the grocery store, you know, during the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock post-work rush.
normal things that you take for granted in your day, I simply cannot do.
Yeah.
And I rearrange my day entirely to minimize fragrance encounter. And what that means for me is that I have to spend a lot of extra time trying to figure out when and how to avoid fragrance, and it's really upsetting. I think for the most part, I feel like I've been put into some kind of parallel universe where nobody understands why I'm upset, because it's not a threat you can see, and it's not a threat that's, you know, getting on anybody's radar as being an of immediate danger. It's not like nuclear fallout. But for me, it is nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of silent panic that I have. Mm-hmm. And so I feel isolated and alone, and it's incredibly frustrating. And I just want to know what is in this stuff so I can avoid it.
Genevieve, that was great. Of course, you're the reporter. That was great. But I think that as you were talking, I realized what I think has been so compelling about so many of these stories is that none of you are downplaying it. And what made me realize that, Genevieve, was when you said, for me, this is like nuclear fallout. And I think that fragrance sensitivity, it's an issue that really, I mean, it hasn't really, it's not mainstream, you know, at all. That's why we're releasing this report, is because it needs greater attention. And so that's why all of your stories have been so good, is that none of you are minimizing what happens to you. This is a big deal. And that was great. Thank you, Genevieve.
Thank you for your feedback and for the forum. I appreciate it.
Ah, absolutely. Thanks for your advice, too.
Sure. And this is Alex. I just want to add in how just, you know, inspiring and exciting it is to hear all your stories and to hear you guys sort of enthused about this work, having, you know, worked on this and being kind of buried in the science and stuff for the last year or so. It's just, you know, really, really, really exciting to be personally to sort of see, like, okay, you know, we've produced something that people can relate to, and this is, you know, there are people out there having these problems that I figured they were having. So it's just, I'm just so sort of like proud and excited to have your stories, because it's your voices that can really carry these messages and make a difference in such a major way. So I thank you so much for being on the call.
And Alex, I know you have to hop off. Real quick, Lynn has a really good question. Can we distinguish between sensitivities and allergies? Do we need to do that? What's a good way to do that?
Sure, I can do that real quickly. Sure. So, and we discussed this in the report, too, because there are sort of clinical definitions between sensitivities and allergies. And then the report in the dermatology literature, a sensitivity means you've had a patch test, basically, injected you with it and your skin has reacted. When they call it a full fragrance allergy, it means you've had that patch test and there's sort of other evidence that you've been exposed to products and this is happening routinely. So it's kind of a greater thing. So there are people who will have a patch test but don't necessarily react to products or react in other situations, who might just be sensitive. Then there's the other issue of kind of what's called fragrance sensitivity. It's not very well defined, but that's kind of this bigger world of people, as people on this call have talked about, you know, having these other reactions to just being, you know, within 15 feet of fragrance and having, and that's, it includes a whole range of different symptoms that can be characterized as fragrance sensitivity. So there's fragrance sensitivity in the dermatology world, there's fragrance allergy in the dermatology world, and then there's the bigger picture of fragrance sensitivity, which is not as easily defined and not as consistently defined, but very real out there in the world. So,
thank you. Is that helpful, Lynn?
That might be helpful to a reporter. I'm not sure that would satisfy the question for them, though.
For the who?
Well, since we will be speaking with reporters, that kind of distinction, you know, they will be interested in how that distinction is made scientifically, and probably are thinking mostly in terms of Western medicine. You know, the tests are not, there are many more tests than the patch tests, and many of us have had them. And I think we might just confuse them by throwing that all in there. So I wanted to bring it up because you know, I, for example, could go on and on and on about decades now of sleuthing this out in various ways, including patch tests and blood tests and this test and that test. But there, I know there's not really an agreement. Many people will say that people with multiple chemical sensitivities, for example, do not have allergies, and they'll make a very, very strong distinction between what's a sensitivity and what's an allergy. And sometimes they'll say that one is more stronger or more difficult to have or more provable or whatever than the other. And depending on, you know, how long we're out there doing this, I know it's going to come up.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes back to this problem of so the researchers and the medical establishment, and you know, they don't know how to deal with this either, because of this kind of veil of secrecy around what's in fragrances. So it's really hard to tease out what's happening. So you're absolutely right there. You know, it's very frustrating. And you can come up with a lot of, you know, roadblocks on defining this, because there isn't a lot of consensus on it, because there's so much, you know, information we don't have because of the secrecy in the industry. Yeah.
I mean, so I guess my question is, sort of as a group who are serving as spokeswomen, are we sort of agreeing to use allergies, because really that's kind of all most people get anyway? And by get, I mean understand anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep, absolutely.
So I want to get to Lisa. Lisa, I know you've had your hand raised for a while. Were you ready to practice? Did you have a question?
Oh, yeah, okay. Ready to practice.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because just before the cast, I am going to have to hop off. But,
perfect. So I was just okay. Those of you who can stay on to practice, I would love to stay on with you, just for everybody else who needs to hop off right now. Just let you know, the report is being released on February 20th, and we'll be sending with the report and all the other goodies that go along with it. And that's where you'll find it. Spread the word, email me, call me if you have questions. If you haven't sent me your phone number and your location yet, please do that. And yeah, we'll just keep practicing, those of you who can stay on. So thank you all if you have to hop off, and I will be sending out the recording tomorrow. Thank you, Alex, too.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, so Lisa, let's go with, tell me a little bit about your reaction to fragrance.
Okay, well, for me it started really when I was quite young, when I was a teenager, and I really didn't put the dots together at that point. I'd noticed that my mom would spray perfume, and I would start to feel very nauseous and get headaches and just feel, you know, generally bad, and thought, oh, it's just her perfume, or she uses too much perfume. And as years went on, I started to notice my sensitivities increasing, as I'm sure a lot of people on the call have been through, because typically that is what happens. Our toxic body burden load just becomes so large that we can't handle this anymore. And it really grew into full-blown health effects for me, including hormone imbalances. I just became completely lowered immunity, fatigue, sinus infections, I mean, you name it. And in fact, I do this for a living now. I started an entire change of course for my business and my path. I'm a published author now, and this is my life's work, is educating other people about it. And really, because I've experienced this firsthand, I can relate to the people that are going through this, which really, to me, is almost everybody today. And when we talk about a fragrance allergy, we're talking about chemicals that we're being exposed to. So even though we're talking about allergies or sensitivities, these are chemicals and they're not good for any of us, even people who aren't having reactions to them. So it's so important to get these products labeled and let us know as consumers what we're buying. It's one thing for someone to make a choice to buy a fragrance product. It's another thing for them to be deceived in purchasing a product that they think is healthy, that it's not.
Oh, that's so good. That is good.
Woohoo!
That was good. That was perfect. I mean, again, going through, you know, what are your reactions, how it makes you feel, and ending with that talking point. Again, getting to this, it's almost an issue of fairness. We actually are sort of steering clear of the word fair, because sometimes it sounds whiny, like, it's not fair. But this getting to this concept of fairness that, you know, it is just, that's just what we deserve. It is just our right to know what's in here. That was perfect.
Oh, thank you. It is our right to know. And, you know, I do have a question. I got asked this question today. You know, I'm pretty aware of the European Union and their stricter laws compared to the U.S., but really, and I've been asked this too, why? Why are they so much more stringent in their legislation? And wouldn't you think that companies would rather, wouldn't it be cost effective for them to make one product to serve both countries versus, you know, making two different products? I mean, it really screams deception when you think that that would just be an easier course for the manufacturer.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we think, and that's why we're calling on companies to disclose these ingredients, like, you know, a Reckitt-Benckiser or a Procter & Gamble that makes these overseas for a different standard.
Right.
And it really is, yeah, it's just appalling. I mean, we have been asking that same question, and that's why companies' arguments just, they don't hold water. They just,
right.
SC Johnson had the weirdest response that was, you know, well, we think that that 26th EU allergen list isn't complete, and we don't want to provide our consumers with incomplete information, which was basically no information is better than a little information. Just so weird.
Right.
We're really calling out this double standard pretty heavily in the report and the press around the report, because I don't know how many of you remember, that's how we got Johnson & Johnson to make their product safer, was because we called them out that they were making safer baby shampoos in Japan, the EU, and Australia than they were here, and people were so mad. So that's definitely, I mean, that is a great talking point to come back to, is why would a company give, you know, consumers overseas more information than I get? That's ridiculous.
Two different versions, yeah.
So yeah,
and
that's
I didn't
a really
see-
good question.
Oh, thank you. And I didn't see this in the speaking points, but I wanted to bring up two points. One is that the word fragrance and or perfume can hide hundreds, if not thousands, of chemicals. I mean, I think that's a good speaking point for all of us.
Yes, that is a great, great talking point. And that's definitely in the report, that fragrance can be made up to 100 synthetic chemicals, and we don't get to see any of them. It's a good talking point.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
And then, so I know that we have Heather Needs to Practice and Teresa, and Karen, I don't think you've gotten to go yet. So.
I'm here, too. This
okay, great, great. So let's, Heather, you want to practice next? Heather,
yes.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good, okay. So let's see. So, Heather, is it hard for you to find personal care products or cleaning products that you don't react to?
So for me, it's my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, that has a severe reaction to artificial fragrances, and she experiences reactive airway. So she's been hospitalized because of it, and had to be put on oxygen and inhaled steroids and albuterol. And so in our personal life, we don't use anything with fragrances, and we know exactly what products we can use, and that's what we buy all the time. We don't worry about looking for new products because we're just going to stick to the products that we know and the companies that we can trust and that we've spoken to on the phone and know that they don't use any kind of fragrances, completely unscented products. And the real concern for us is that, you know, not only do we not know what's in the fragrances, but over the years, the companies have made the scent stronger. And so if you hug someone, for instance, a relative comes over and hugs us or hugs our daughter, and they have perfume on, it sticks to you immediately. And, you know, the air doesn't disperse it because it's just so thick and so strong. And it's an unfortunate social issue for us because, you know, a lot of friends, they don't understand and they continue to use these products, and we have to limit our interaction with them and, you know, try to see them outside if possible because, you know, a little less of a chance that she would directly be breathing it. But
that's great. So that's great.
Yeah.
again, it's sort of, you know, that you really conveyed that it's really frustrating and really difficult, you know. And I love that talking point you had in the middle that we support companies that are transparent with us. We go back to those same companies who tell us what's in their products because that's who we can trust. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good consumer talking point. That's great. So you are, Heather, you're talking to Molly Rauch, right, soon?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Air Force. Great. And if you have any questions before that, feel free to give me a call.
Okay, thank you.
But it sounds like you're ready to go. It's great.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention one other thing, because I think it's really important. You know, since she has been hospitalized, you know, for a fragrance allergy, one thing that we have run into is that when she has to go to the emergency room or even, you know, transferred up to the hospital to stay for a couple of nights, we have to bring our own soap for the doctors and for the nurses to wash their hands with, because all of the options are scented, all of the sanitizers and all of the soaps. I mean, we literally had the very first time it happened, we had a nurse running around trying to find something that would be safe, because they're required to use something. They said they can't just use water. And so my husband had to run home. Luckily, it's just like a 10-minute drive, and, you know, go get our soap that's unscented. And I cut my thumb, and I had to go to urgent care and get stitches. And they, before I even, you know, realized what they were doing, they put some Johnson & Johnson baby soap on my thumb. Oh. And I'm like, whoa, immediately I told them, and, you know, they tried to wash it off, but it's stuck, and I had a bandage on it, luckily, my daughter, she's like, but it still smelled, and so I had to just kind of, like, wrap it up and keep it away from her until I was allowed to take the bandage off and clean it.
Yeah.
So it's really ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, what you just said, too, about the fact that, you know, you have to bring your own soap to a hospital. I mean, I think it's a really good, I always bring this up, that it should not be our responsibility to have to do all this research, you know? It shouldn't be our responsibility to make sure that what we're picking up off the shelf is safe. That should just be companies' responsibilities, you know? We shouldn't have to do all this.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yep.
And so let's get Karen and then Teresa. Karen, are you there? Karen? Okay, Karen, if you're there, type in the chat window. And Teresa, you ready? I know you kind of missed a little bit here, but what we're doing is just kind of we're sharing our stories and making sure that we tie it back to this main message, which is the goal of this campaign, is to get companies to start disclosing fragrance ingredients, because we have a right to know what's in the products we're using and what's causing our reactions. So that's basically all. So you'll, you know, in a very sort of a brief way, tell your story with 3 or 4 sentences and then come back to this main talking point of, I have a right to know what's in the products I'm using. Are you ready? Teresa, are you there? Okay, I'm just going to unmute you all one more time.
The conference has been unmuted.
Teresa? All right. Well, is there anybody else on the phone who had anything they wanted to say or who wanted to practice more?
I'll practice. This is Mindy.
Aisha.
Oh, who said I'll practice first?
Mindy.
Mindy, you haven't practiced yet. I don't have your name on my screen. That's why. Definitely. And Aisha, I'll get to you right after that. So, Mindy, tell me a little bit about how fragrance affects you.
Well, fragrance, it really, like everybody else said, you know, it's almost made me phobic. It really affects me more like on a respiratory level. But I think one of the things that, like Alex was saying, that it affects us all on such a larger level is that it creates anxiety. You know, I just don't like any synthetic smells, and I have to say I'm really thankful for this platform right now, because I'm finding, you know, I take my kids, they're 3 years old, you know, I make all their products, they're not exposed to anything in our home that's synthetic, so now that they're in preschool, I'm smelling, the minute you walk in the school, you can smell the laundry detergent, perfume, and all the things that, you know, I don't want them to be exposed to. It's really, you know, showing me how big this issue is and how surrounded by it we are constantly, and we have no choice. So I'm really thankful to have this platform to be able to speak about this because I think it's so important. So it just, it really affects me. You know, I used to use all kinds of synthetic stuff, and then once I stopped using that, then I realized, you know, when I'm breathing it in, it's really very uncomfortable, gives me a headache. You know, I have to leave certain places or avoid. And so, you know, I think that my children and I deserve to know what we're surrounded by. And we should, I agree with you that we shouldn't have to make all these changes to our lives, just to, you know, just to live.
That was perfect. I wish you guys could see me because every time one of you, just with a talking point, I fist pump. I'm not kidding. I do. That was really good. That was great. And the whole my children and I piece. That's yeah. So good. I mean, honestly, the more that we can bring in, you know, our health, our family's health, all of our health, this is, you know, a communal thing. That's perfect. Thank you. That was great.
Thanks.
Yeah. And Aisha, you're next.
Yes. I just wanted, you know, I need to go, but I just wanted to ask about the possibilities of having a petition.
Yeah, so Tamika, actually, let's see, what did she say? She has a petition going, and I'm going to put her contact info in the email that I send out with the recording. So she has a petition going. We also, along with the reports, are going to start up basically a petition to the fragrance industry, so getting at the root of this problem, sort of bypassing completely even, you know, the companies, but getting to the people who make their fragrance. And so with the report, we'll have that action, telling the fragrance industry to stop keeping ingredients a secret. So that'll go out in the email on the 20th when the report comes out. And you guys should feel free to share that action all over the place through email and Facebook and Twitter and whatever else you're on. So yeah, that's a priority for sure. Good question.
You know, it came to my mind because I often get emails from a place called change.org.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They always have some very good, you know, situations on there that they're asking people to, you know, sign a petition, and it's just something so simple to do.
Exactly. Yeah, we've worked with change.org before. That's a great idea. Definitely.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
You know, the other thing, the other person was mentioning about her children now attending preschool, and there's some of the products that I use are through a company called Celia. Clean, and what they're working on is trying to detox the schools and to get them to use, you know, something different that is, you know, doesn't have those chemicals in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, they have dishwashing liquid and, you know, different things like that, that are okay for me, you know. And the last thing I just wanted to thank, I don't even remember how, I was on some site and it led me to your site, and I was really at an ideal time because this just happened to me in November, my incident just happened in November. And I, you know, I didn't know where to go with it. You know, and I just try to explain it to people because it's just very real for me that, you know, this situation has just blown out of proportion now, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm so glad that you...
a lot of people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for being part of it. Aisha, Lynn just asked if you could spell the name of that company that you mentioned.
Sure, S like in sun, O-L-E-A. CLEAN, CeliaClean.com.
Awesome.
You know, and it's, you know, to know that, because it sounds so weird. I've never heard of anything like that happening to anybody. So you just feel like, you know what, okay, I'm the weird one, you know? But it just seems like it is a lot of people, you know? And it's, so it's really good to be able to, you know, pass this on in an easy format. The only other thing that I would ask is that when you put something out, put a little thing on there that that makes it easy because I'm not computer savvy.
Yes, absolutely. I know. This one is a little tough. Yes,
just
definitely.
A little thing on there that says, you know what, that I can email it to a friend.
Okay.
Someone else easily.
Okay, that's good.
With that, I'm going to bid everyone good night and thank you again.
Aisha, can you hang on for a second?
Sure.
They said I could jump in here. There are support groups and stuff for people with multiple chemical sensitivity.
Okay.
So, actually, if you want to, or if anybody wants to email me, I don't know the best way to do this, but HEAL, which is an acronym for, I'll never get it, Human Ecology Something League, has support groups all over the country. And also, if you go to mcs-america.org, there's a lot of information there. And also CIIN.org. And I don't mind if Cassidy wants to share my email with you if you want to contact me.
Okay. If she could send that, and then I could just to make sure that I have this information correct.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Okay. I would appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
great.
So
well,
much.
I know it's getting late here, and we should probably wrap up. Does anybody have any final questions or comments? All right, great. Well, you guys, you all have my email, and you have my, Lynn, I'm just seeing your chat in here. Yep, that was Leah who had that last information about NCS and HEAL. Please feel free to shoot me an email, give me a call. Report's coming out on Wednesday, which we're really excited about, and we will all be in touch with any spokeswoman opportunities. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please stand by.